Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Cloris Leachman, RIP. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from the time of the strangest things with another Homes Alone edition. It's Thursday, January 28th, right? 2021. And my guests today are Todd Robert Anderson, Claire Kramer, and Clark Wolf. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Doug.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, I love that. Everybody's got such a tremendous amount of energy. A lot of, I could, you know, even though I can only hear you, I could see the smiles through your masks. And very happy to have you all here. And I'd like to introduce you individually and alphabetically, starting with the man who stars on one of the greatest television programs of all time, You're the Worst. Todd Robert Anderson is here.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me, Doug. Very exciting. Thanks for saying I starred on You're the Worst. I
upgrade people, and then they generally point it out because everybody is so humble and they're not gonna just sit there and let me call them the star. But you were the star for my money. Remember, when there was one, I might have texted you the next day, there was an episode of the show that was really heavy, and you were the every time you showed up it was funny again, but every time you weren't on camera it was real serious. So it was like a great great showcase for you to be the only funny thing in the in the half hour of a comedy.
The comic relief within a comedy. That was cool. I liked it. And then that show, I got two episodes. It was just me and Alan. They like let us, the recurring guests, have entire episodes. It's pretty amazing.
Oh yeah. I mean, the stuff that creator of that program, Stephen Falk, would allow to happen. A lot of other showrunners would just be like, "Oh, that's a fun idea, but let's stick to, you know, what we're here to do."
Yeah.
He's willing to let things go very strangely afield. And you are going to do a cast reading of, it's a specific episode, correct?
Yeah, it's from the second season. The name of the episode is a rapidly mutating virus.
Yeah, and I didn't, that's perfect. And I didn't reach out to Steven because the Doug Benson character, of course, is not in that, hadn't appeared on the show until season 3. So there's nothing for me to do there, but I am very excited that
I was hoping that he would have you to reach stage directions, but he's doing that himself. The jerk.
Yeah, now that's the thing. You got to, the person who wrote everything gets to read the stage directions. That seems to be like a rule of these read through situations, unless they're shy, but he's certainly not shy and he'll be great at it. And so it's the whole cast reading episode from the second season. And how do people get there to watch it?
The name it's called the Play Per View. You're the Worst reunion. I think if you look that up, you'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for some charity and it's this Sunday, I think, or.
Yeah, it's Sunday. Okay. Let me see. I'm 11 my time. I think it would be, let me see. They said two. I'm not sure. I know I'm supposed to be there at 11 for a rehearsal, but I think it starts like an hour later. So it's, I think, noon Pacific time.
No way. Really? It's that early?
I think so. Or maybe it's one. I don't know. I'm all screwed up with time.
What time zone are you in? Are you not allowed to say, are you in the witness relocation program?
No, I'm Pacific. I'm in California here.
Yeah, okay.
I know my call time, but there's a rehearsal at 11. I don't know. I can't look at my phone because I don't want to cheat on the game, Doug. So
they'll take a lot of time. They'll take a lot of time on the tech part of it because these things are so tech heavy and they want everything to go smoothly at the live show. So I wouldn't be surprised if it started, you know, 2 or 3 hours after when they've asked you to be there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But whatever time it is, it's probably in the afternoon on the West Coast, in the evening, early evening on the East Coast. It's this Sunday, January 31st. And I'm sure it's for a good cause, but I forget what the cause is.
It's Feeding America is the name of the.
Okay, I take it back. That's stupid.
There's too much feeding happening here already.
Oh, we're the most obese country in the world. It's not a problem. No, that's a great cause. And I think I actually did a thing recently where money was raised for them. So good deal. Also joining us today. Jeez, Todd, taking up so much time.
I apologize.
Our returning champion, who I did not give enough credit to last week for not only having been the most winningest champion earlier in the history of the show, but also the star of Buffy the Vampire Slayer season 5, I want to say.
Yeah, season 5.
Season 5. You were the big bad of season 5. And of course, also featured heavily in the classic Bring It On, which I'll talk to you about that in a second, is Claire Kramer, everybody.
Hi, guys. Thanks, Doug.
Sorry, there's not the usual fanfare that you and your baby expect.
You know what I was thinking about that I miss from the live shows? I mean, other than actually like seeing people in person, is the where you get to pick the audience poster and you get to play for that person, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that part. That's so fun.
Yeah, people were excited to have a tremendously pregnant woman playing on their behalf.
I mean, it was like the pregnancy that went on and on and on. But yeah, that was so fun. I love the live show. So I look forward to like when that can happen again as well.
You weren't even winning. I just kept having you back to try to induce labor.
Right?
But the excitement might get you to pop it out, you know? congratulations on all of it. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you about Buffy.
Yes.
I'll be right with you, Clark. Just let me put you on hold for a second, Clark.
I'm a big Buffy fan, so I'm interested in this as well.
Now, I hope I can remember what I was going to ask. Season 5. Now I know. It's a Bring It On Star Wars.
Okay.
Question. How excited are you, and have you like spoken to him about it, that Peyton Reed, who directed Bring It On, was able to get into, he directed those great episodes, the last few episodes of The Mandalorian,
which people say the finale was like the best episode.
You haven't seen it?
Yes, I love it.
Oh, you're just saying people in general. Usually when somebody says people are saying they haven't seen it themselves and they're just talking about the general buzz. But you've seen it and loved it like everybody.
I saw it and loved it. I watched my kids and I watched The Mandalorian together. And that you know, and then we had to go backwards, of course. But that's a whole nother story. I love Peyton. He is the nicest person. And I always say that Bring It On turned out so well because we just had so much fun. So you could not ask for me to be any happier for a person than I am for Peyton Reed. And I saw him at the Saturns a couple years ago when he was being honored, I think, with a Saturn for Ant-Man. And that's when Tales of Halloween, which I was in, won a Saturn that year. And he has not changed one bit. He is so down to earth and awesome and funny and the coolest guy in the world. And it's just one of those, it's when the good person gets success, that's Peyton's story. So I love him so much. He's great.
Yeah, he's super nice. And as follow-up to Bring It On, that Down With Love was severely underrated. It's really, really good.
I know it is. That's Renee Zellweger. And it, you know, she was great. He was great in it. But then, you know, he kind of came around with the, you know, I think the Ant-Man stuff really pushed him up. And then of course, Mandalorian is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. Good for him. Yeah. Clark Wolf is here, everybody.
Yay, Clark.
I just wanted to get to it quickly because you've been waiting so patiently.
I'm always happy to be last in line on Doug Loves Movies.
Well, I'm glad that you're okay with it because with the last name Wolf, I mean, I have to bring in Josh Wolf for you to be ahead of somebody alphabetically.
That's true.
Because Clark comes before C, who comes before J.
That's true. That's true. Although Josh might not have an E on the end of his name. So does that mean that he comes first?
Oh. So,
screwed again. It's, you know what, though? As Sean, remember on 12 Guests of Christmas, Sean Jordan so graciously let me go before him in the game, and it ended up costing me the game. So, you know, I'm not going to complain about anything anymore. I'm just happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you. Before I ask the big question, I have to read something from the corrections department. Donald Gleason and Rachel McAdams were in About Time, and Amanda Seyfried and Justin Timberlake were in Time. Apologies to all time travelers offended by the anime. It wasn't so much of an error as I just could not get the two movies straight. Now, people are stuck at home. People are desperate for quality entertainment and entertainment that perhaps doesn't make them feel bad about how things are. Escapist entertainment, I should say. So with that in mind, I'll ask you first, Todd. Can you recommend something for people to watch? It can be outside of movies, but I prefer a movie if you've got one in mind.
Well, I'm a big, I don't know how much of an escape it is, but I'm a huge disaster movie fan. And I really liked Greenland with Gerard Butler.
I have some friends in that movie. Yay.
Yeah, it's a great,
In Greenland?
Way out there in Greenland.
Yeah, it's disaster in Greenland.
I mean, they cast the whole thing locally, didn't they?
They did indeed.
I know Gerard Butler as a summer place there.
Yeah, that's who I was talking about. I know Gerard Butler. That's who I meant. Totally.
Oh, cool. You're best friends with Gerard Butler?
You know, no big deal. I don't like to brag about it or anything.
Is he easier to understand in person?
No, but that's what we love about him. That's, you know, and no.
We're just like good old mumbly G-butt.
G-butt. Mumbly G-butt.
Okay, so Greenland, why does it sound, I mean, this is a newish movie, correct?
Yeah. It technically, I guess, came out at the end of 2020, but I didn't see it till this month.
How'd you get your eyes on it? Is it on a streaming service or do you just...
It's rentable.
Rentable.
I saw that and A Promising Young Woman the same way.
I've heard good things about Greenland, so I'm you know, I'm backing up your endorsement of that. And then I can personally say that I think Promising Young Woman is very good. It's really I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, it's great. It the opposite of escapist, though. I wouldn't call it that.
Yeah, no, that's the thing about it, is that going into it, I thought that it would be both more violent and more fun.
Me too.
It turned out to be, which is, in both cases, it's an absolute compliment that they didn't have to resort, you know, to that it is not wacky and it's not super violent.
But, yeah.
But it's violent in, certainly in the, you know, what happens off screen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's more, yeah, it's more of a dramatic thriller than it is.
This is my clumsy way of saying that triggered individuals might be able to get through it okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, take it with a grain of salt, because I'm just some dude.
Yeah, it can be a tough watch, I would say. But
yeah, I think it can be. But I think I've talked to women about it who were pleasantly surprised by that it wasn't a difficult watch.
Yeah, I see that.
All right. Speaking of people who are a difficult watch, that's a terrible segue. Clara Kramer, do you have what did you recommend last week, if you don't mind?
Last week I went down the Nolan hole of Tenet.
Oh, Tenet, right, yeah.
The palindrome movie. And this week I'm going in a different direction, but I will preface this by saying I've spent a lot of time rewatching my favorite movies with my kids. And this movie that I'm going to recommend this week, I have decided now it's been elevated into my top 10. So if you have not seen Baby Driver, you need to watch it tonight. It is fantastic. I love Edgar Wright, and talking about like the Peyton Reed connection, he actually wrote Ant-Man and then left. He was supposed to direct it, but left for, I think, creative differences or something.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton slid in there. But I love Shaun of the Dead. I love his movies. Baby Driver is by far, it has everything you need. It is so well written. The acting is phenomenal. And even though it's like Kevin Spacey, John Barenthal, like Flea, John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, there's tons of people in it. You mm-hmm. don't watch the movie and like be like, oh, there's, you know, there's the Punisher and there's, you know, Flea. You actually are just so absorbed with the characters that kind of all goes away. Everyone, I think, gives an amazing performance in this movie, including the lead kid. And I just absolutely, absolutely, absolutely love it. And the soundtrack is also amazing. Go watch Baby Driver. That's it from Claire.
Wow. It sounds like you're in some sort of movie debate show, like where you were like, somebody else now has to get up and talk shit about Baby Driver.
Right? I kind of felt like I was.
But yeah, I love that movie. I've praised Edgar Wright up and down. He's my, I dare say.
Yeah.
I often find myself thinking that he's my favorite filmmaker. Like, he doesn't make movies about the Holocaust. Like, all of his movies are what would be considered, you know, fun or more right. escapist. But I just think they're so,
he's phenomenal.
So damn good, and that he'll be good directing any kind of movie.
I will put the first 6.5 minutes of Baby Driver up against any other opening sequence in any other movie.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And then it's also like, you know, full of Easter eggs. Like if you watch that opening title sequence, there's so many different things that you can spot that, you know, aren't going to necessarily see in one viewing. And like you were saying about the music, like, I'm excited he's got this documentary coming out very soon about the band Sparks.
Ah.
And I'm excited for it because I've always felt, and especially with Baby Driver, it finally felt like Edgar Wright made a musical.
Yeah.
Because the music is so important in that movie. Like, he timed everything out to specific songs. And so the fact that he's making a documentary about a band that not a lot of people know, but is a great band, I'm very psyched to see it.
It's like Baby Driver was like his almost famous to Cameron Crowe with music. You know what I mean? Like, it was perfect.
Oh yeah. It's a real homage to music. I mean, Edgar's a huge move. I mean, if you're into music, you got to follow Edgar Wright, just because like every year he'll put out a list of his 100 favorite jams of the year. It's like, I couldn't name 10 songs I heard this year.
Right. Well, that's the problem with music, is they don't, you know, it's released obviously in a totally different format nowadays. And so artists don't tend to write for the album. Like, we have Beyonce doing that a little bit still, but for the most part, artists are just writing for the song. And so that whole like album experience, you know, that we all crave and we all grew up on is kind of gone.
Yeah, it's, I haven't like purchased and then listened to an album, like everything in order. It's been a minute, you know?
You need to do that, Doug.
Clark Wolf.
Oh boy. Well, I similarly also have not been watching any escapist titles. I am hosting a horror show every Wednesday on Twitch, and so I mostly have been watching horror movies.
Well, that's, you know, a lot of people are extra into horror during these this time, you know, and they like, you know, it's, you can't go out and do roller coasters anymore, so you might as well at least get the adrenaline rush of, you know, watching somebody being attacked or whatever.
It's true. In times of crisis, horror is usually very popular. Well, if you're looking for one, the most recent one that I watched that I really liked, but it was divisive, was The Lodge. It was the film starring Riley Keough, and it was directed by the two folks who directed Goodnight Mommy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very polarizing, but so some people really didn't like it, some people did, and I was one of the people that did. I'm really glad I checked it out. If you're in the States, it's streaming on Hulu. I really, really liked The Lodge. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think Dan Van Kirk might have also.
I can see it. He and I have similar tastes sometimes.
Yeah, I think he might have recommended it earlier. It turns out it wasn't for me. Sometimes the burn is too slow for me to hang, but you know, it's certainly got some interesting stuff in there, and it's not as outright horrifying as parts of Goodnight Mommy.
Very true. And also that, I would say
that movie's a real rough one.
I loved it. I loved Goodnight Mommy.
I love that movie, but I found it so, I get why they loved it, but I found it a little too rough.
Well, you know, I also think that with the Lodge, I had the luxury of watching it at home, you know, in the comfort of my own home, because similarly, Doug, I'm not usually a big slow burn, you know, A24 stuff is very hit or miss for me. And not, this isn't A24, this is Neon and Hammer, but either way, I'm not usually a big fan either, which is why I was so surprised that I liked The Lodge. But, you know, if you can watch it at home in the comfort of your own home and just kind of like get sucked in, then it might be worth a watch. But yes, no, go in knowing that it is slow.
are you saying that one does not have to be in a lodge to watch The Lodge?
Oh my gosh, I would love that experience. Fantastic Fest, where are you? Can you make a lodge for me to watch The Lodge? That seems like such a draft house thing to do.
Yeah, and I would want to sit in the loge section.
The loge of The Lodge to watch The Lodge.
Yeah, it would be like real Dr. Seuss kind of experience. All right, so those are three short, precise movie recommendations for people to go check out. Thank you for that. And we're going to play some games now, starting with our first game, which will happen right after this. We'll be right back. No flipping.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and it's time to play a game. How are you feeling, Todd? Are you feeling strong today?
Well, Claire's here, which is terrifying and intimidating. But I'm going to try to rise up to the challenge.
Yeah, and you don't even know the beast that is Clark Wolf.
No, I mean, now that I'm hearing her name enough, I've heard her on the show. Yes, I know there's a lot of competition here. It's terrifying.
I will say this, when I heard Clark say that she lost because she acquiesced and accepted an invitation to go first, I knew she knew how to play.
But we love Sean Jordan. He deserves all the lovely things in the world.
Yeah, and he is starting to do better in these games because I hate the expression dumbed down, but I definitely have made it so lucky guesses are possible, especially in the game that ultimately determines who wins today. So this first game we're going to play, though, is one that I've been having a great deal of fun with. It's called So-and-So and the Something Something. Lots of movies have a title with that structure to them, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. So what I've done is I've taken movies that don't have that style of a title. Like, for instance, Home Alone doesn't have that kind of title, but the one that I would make up for Home Alone would be Kevin McAllister and the Abandoned Abode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say my made up title to the three of you one at a time. We're going to, go alphabetically. So you're getting it. You're getting hurt already by this wolf nonsense.
Speak to somebody about that.
Your last name's a different animal, like armadillo or Clark Anteater.
All right, noted. I've made a note of it, Doug.
I think going second or third can actually play to your advantage in this game, but you just never know. So Todd, I'm going to read you a made-up title. You tell me what real title I'm going for.
Okie doke.
And if you don't get it, then it moves on to Claire. So Claire, be thinking about it as well. And
okay.
Clark, you might as well start thinking about it too. I generally don't know how hard or easy these are until I trot them out and see what happens. All right, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
What movie could also be called Nurse Specs, S-P-E-X, Nurse Specs and the Super Special School?
Nurse Specs and the Super Special School. Nurse Specs and the Super Special School.
Before you guess, let me just say, so that it just is out on the table for everybody, so everybody's got an equal chance at getting this. It's not always the absolute main character whose name I use.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Okay.
It could be like a supporting character and what their deal is.
Right.
Nurse Specs and the Super Special School.
The Nurse Specs is, I'm thinking of all these different kinds of super special schools in movies, but the Nurse Specs is not ringing a bell for me. I'm going to just guess, the X-Men.
That's incorrect.
I thought it might be.
But a terrific guess.
I tried.
Yeah, and you also might have helped the other players by showing your work.
That's true. I shouldn't have done that. Well.
Claire Kramer, what do you think it is?
Well, Doug, I happened to explain this movie yesterday. The passing of someone happened to my children as a reference point for who this woman was,
That's what happens. Sometimes you just walk right into these things. You just luck out.
So I'm going to say the movie is Sky High.
That is correct.
Yay. Snap, snap, snap.
I had no prayer. I've never seen that movie.
Oh, it's so good. And Cloris Leachman plays the school nurse, and it's a school of supers. It's all superheroes. And Kurt Russell.
You were like basically correct. It's just the Disney.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, the Disney X-Men.
Should I see it?
Yeah, for sure. Do you like Dave Foley? Do you like Kevin McDonald? Do you like...
I like all those guys.
all two of those guys.
All two of those guys. And the other guys that they used to hang out with.
Jim Rash is in there. And then, you know, a bunch of young actors who have gone on to, you know, that continue to work, like Mary Elizabeth Winstead. It's really good.
I've worked with two people in that movie. I should see it. Damn it.
Oh, probably more than that, because it's I'm leaving people out. It's a big cast, and it's just really colorful and fun, but it really does work. I think Claire can back me up on this. It really does work for, you can watch it with kids.
You can watch it with kids. It's a great movie, actually. It's like, it's again, and it gets lumped into those Disney movies, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's meat to it.
Cool.
Yes. It's a meaty show about high schoolers who have superpowers.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Next, Clark gets to go first.
Okay.
See, this is where being third might pay off.
It might.
Because Clark starts and then it goes to Todd. Clark, what movie has this fake title?
Okay.
Henry Turner and His Muddled Memory.
Henry Turner and His Muddled Memory. Okay, well, this is a guess, and your audience is probably going to scream at me if I'm right or wrong. Is it Memento?
No, it isn't. Why would they be mad at you?
Because I feel like because the work of Christopher Nolan is not burned onto my retinas. And so how dare I, you know, assign something, I don't know.
Yeah, I would be less scared of the audience and more scared of Clara Kramer, because yes, she is a Nolan head.
A Nolan head, indeed. Well, that was my guess.
Memento was my M movie last week in Goodnight.
Oh, yeah, that's right, in ABCD's Nuts.
Mm-hmm. I like that game.
It's so fun. Todd?
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think? What movie could be called Henry Turner and His Muddled Memory?
Regarding Henry?
That is correct.
Hey!
Good job!
I'm glad that I didn't get that first, because I had the time to think of it.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, not having to go first on these can work in your favor.
Yeah, so, that's good.
We're going to go to Claire with this next one.
Okay.
What movie did I change to the title Neil Page and the Terrible Turkey Day?
Okay. Neil Page and the Terrible Turkey Day. What is that?
No good, really bad turkey day.
I'm thinking of the Holly Hunter movie at Thanksgiving, Home something.
Oh, Home for the Holidays?
Home for the Holidays.
Is that your guess?
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Probably your first hint was me just telling you what it's called.
I knew I was wrong, but it was going to be my guess, so I had to go with
it. Yeah, no, that's a good guess, though. What do you think it is, Tom? Who's up next? Clark.
Yes, I think my guess is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That is correct. We have a three-way tie.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, Neil Page is Steve Martin's name.
That's a good one. That's funny. I like all these titles, Doug. These are great.
Now I can't think of John Candy's name in that movie, but it's way more.
Del Griffith.
Yeah. See, if I'd have said him, then everyone would have known it right away, I think.
Yeah. Shower curtain guy.
All right. We're back to you, Todd.
Okay.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
What movie has the tagline? Tagline, I'm now mixing it up with one of my.
We're doing taglines now. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Is it
title? What movie has a tagline that should have had because it's also got a completely different title? Queen Clarice Rinaldi and the Unaware Heir.
Queen Clarice Rinaldi and the Unaware Heir. Wow. All right, I'm just gonna, the first title that popped into my head was King Ralph. So I'm just gonna go with that. It seems reasonable.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I gotta look that one up now and see what Ralph's last name is, because maybe Ralph, then whatever his name is, might be a fun one to, because people probably don't remember his full name. But no, that's incorrect.
Yeah.
Claire? Oh,
wow. I know this one. This is Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
In The Princess Diaries.
That is correct.
I knew you were going to get that one, Claire.
I know. That was when you said the Unaware Heir, I was like, oh, Princess Diaries.
Yeah.
I clearly picked the boy version of the same narrative.
It's true. It's true. What's her name? Julie Andrews plays Queen Clarice Rinaldi. And I just thought, that does not sound like what her name should be in that movie.
Yeah, I did not know her name.
Oh, Clarice.
Like Silence of the Lambs. That was my first.
Yeah.
I know. As soon as I heard Clarice, I thought it was a Hannibal
you
movie.
Know how many
but then...
times in my life people are like, Clarice, put on the lotion.
Shame on them.
Yes.
All right. Claire has 2 points. It's your turn now, Clark.
Okay.
Mama Fratelli and the Meddling Misfits.
Yes, the Goonies.
That is correct.
Awesome.
I love that. That's so good.
Yeah, I couldn't use any of the Goonies because they don't have last names.
That's true.
Or, I mean, they might somewhere have last names written down, but...
But we don't know them.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know. All right.
Ooh, Doug, do you know what Chunk's real name is in the movie? Like the character?
No.
Nope, I lied. It's not Chunk. It's Mouth. But do you know what Mouth's real name is?
The Corey Feldman character?
Yeah.
No.
It's Clark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But not with an E.
Right.
Like, do you want us to call you Mouth now?
Not on air, but yeah, later you can, everybody can send me. Yes, exactly.
But it has to be, it's Mouth with an E.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mouth Armadillo. That's my new code name.
All right, Todd, here's your chance to bring this thing into a three-way tie territory.
All right.
I'm very excited about that.
Well, I hope I do well.
I hope so too. Professor Kelp and the Out of Control Alter Ego.
Professor Kelp and the Out of Control Alter Ego. Mm-hmm. Professor Kelp and the Out of Control Alter Ego. Professor Kelp. Alter Ego. I am nothing's landing in my brain here. Professor Kelp, and I'm trying to do alter ego. I don't know. Raising Cain.
Great guess. Incorrect. Claire, for the win.
I'm going to say, although I'm not totally sure, but the one that's coming, first I was thinking Jekyll and Hyde, but that's not it. So now I'm going with the Nutty Professor.
That is correct.
No, wait. I gotta pull a Sam Levine, Doug.
Yeah.
His name is Clump.
No, that's the remake starring Eddie Murphy.
You're doing the original.
I'm talking the original.
Copy. All right, then yes, I apologize.
And you're right. That's the first thing Sam would have said.
I apologize. Good job, everyone.
No, I was excited to see that they changed his name from one movie to the other. Because they also changed they added the whole fat thing, like Jerry Lewis isn't particularly out of, you know, overweight as the, he's just really nerdy. And then he turns into a really cool guy.
Is his alter ego still, isn't it still Buddy Love?
I think so. Yeah. I think they kept the alter ego name.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
Well, I decided Kelp didn't
sound like a fat guy. That sounds like somebody who just eats salads.
I was racking up. Kelp made me think of the ocean. So I was like, is this a SpongeBob movie? Who's the alter ego?
Yeah. Or like Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Yeah. I wish I were a fish.
All right. So Claire won that game with only one more clue to spare, and I'm just going to share it with everybody. I think it's a fairly easy one. Laurie Strode and the Masked Man.
Yes.
Halloween. Yeah. I would have got that.
Yeah.
Which Halloween? Is it the original? Or because that's a lot of them.
Example one. That's the very original was when Jamie Lee Curtis was named Laurie Strode. I think when they remade it, when it was like straight up remake of the first Halloween, I think they changed her name. I don't think they kept it the same.
But isn't she Laurie Strode in the new ones, like Halloween? Yes, but
those
Kills? Are
called, those have those other crazy names like H2O and.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah.
Water.
Yeah, they're all over the place with it.
That's right. There are three Halloween movies just called Halloween. It's crazy.
It's all so confusing. But say what you want about Michael Myers, at least he wore a mask. He's ahead of his time. All right, and we're behind time, but still doing great and having fun, and we will be right back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back. We're here with Claire Kramer, who is unstoppable. She just won another game, but all she won, of course, was just the opportunity to go first in our next and final game today.
Woo!
And it's a little something called Weird Algorithm. I know Clark has played this before, but I will explain it to Todd and Claire. Weird Algorithm is what you get on the Internet Movie Database when you type in the title of a movie and it says, see full cast, and you type on full cast, the list of everybody as they were billed in the movie comes up, whether it was alphabetical or order of appearance or just, you know, standard show business Hollywood billing. If you click on a little refine button, you get that same cast, the entire cast rearranged in order of who is the most popular on the IMDb website.
Star meter.
At that particular time. So it's always fluid.
So it's like a actor who's getting the most hits on IMDb?
Basically, yeah. The person that's being, you know, searched the most for whatever reason, for their work or for stuff that's going out on outside.
That's how the star, okay, got it.
So I'll name a movie and then you each get a turn and we change up the order so that a different person gets to go first each time. And you can also in this game, you can say out loud what you're thinking, and the other people can pick the same name if they want to. Strategically, you want to go for more points by picking a name that no one else has picked. Because if you name the person who's top billed in the movie I name, you get 3 points, second billed 2 points, and third billed 1 point. Anything below that, even though they're in the movie, doesn't count for any points. And we'll start with...
But not top billed, top star meter? Or top, like, I'm confused.
Yeah, it's basically star meter, okay. But I'll name a movie and you tell me who's currently at the top of that cast.
Got it.
If we pick the same name, we split the points. Is that?
No, you just get the whatever points you'd get. But the idea is you want to win, so if you can pick a different name than somebody else's.
Okay.
Strategically, it's smart. Plus, it's called weird algorithm because it is a little hard to gauge what's going to happen. Plus, I'll tell you a couple of actors' names from each movie just to jumpstart the conversation in case, I don't worry too much about the three of you, but sometimes people are like, I don't even know who's in that movie. So I have to at least give a little bit of help. So Claire won that first game, so she's going to go first, and then it goes to Clark and then to Todd in this first round. And the movie, Claire, is Avengers: Age of Ultron, of course, starring Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man and Chris Evans as Captain America, but lots of other people are in that movie. Who do you think, due to their current popularity, might finish at number one?
That's a good question. I think Elizabeth Olsen, because of WandaVision, maybe?
Okay. What do you think, Clark?
That was also my thought. And now I'm trying to think of if there were any other smaller surprises, because I guess Paul Bettany would be in there too, but I feel like IMDb favors, lovely, attracted, talented women, young women. I hate to pick the same person as Claire, but that is what I was thinking. So I guess I'll also say Elizabeth Olsen.
Okay. Todd, what do you think?
Well, I love the WandaVision logic, so I'll go with Paul Bettany.
Okay. Claire, are you locked in for Elizabeth Olsen?
I think so.
Okay.
I think Clark and I
same.
Mind melding.
Yeah, I'm I feel like you giving us this opportunity, Doug, is a trick to tell us that we're way off, or we should reevaluate. So now I don't know. Yeah,
but your answer at this point could be a car, it could be a Zonk. could go either way. I'm not going to say.
I'll stick with Elizabeth Olsen as well.
All right, and Todd, you're good with Paul Bettany?
I'm sticking with Paul.
You're betting on Bettany.
I'm betting on Bettany.
Bet. All right. To give you an idea how crazy these things are, Chris Evans is number 5. In current popularity. ScarJo is number 4. Number 3 is Anthony Mackie.
Oh
right, because he's got that Netflix movie.
And Outside the Wire.
Right.
On Netflix. And I'll just give you guys a heads up. That does not mean outside of Baltimore. it's not like the Wire TV show. Number 2, making 2 points for Todd Robert Anderson, is Ooh. Paul Bettany.
Oh, wow.
No doubt, because of his wonderful work as Vision. And coming in at number 1, it is indeed, you sussed it out, Elizabeth Olsen.
Okay.
For her work as Wanda. Which is, full circle. It's good that, she was more of a supporting character initially, and now she's got her own show.
She's so good.
That's 3 points for Claire, 3 points for Clark, and 2 for Todd. So everybody's all bunched up close together. Oh, and that reminds me, Claire.
Yeah.
How great is it that Emma Caulfield from Buffy is in WandaVision.
I remember we were last year sometime, we were at a convention and she was like, I'm flying to Atlanta. I'm shooting. I cannot tell you what it is, but it's part of the MCU. And I'm like, please tell me. I won't tell anyone. And she stuck to her NDA and didn't tell me. And then she texted right when they did the announcement. And I'm so, another great person to have good things happen to, you know, she's so, so sweet. I love her.
Yeah. And she's so great on that show. And like, I was like, that has to be, I knew it was somebody that I should know for some reason, you know, like it just felt like that kind of show that would like, you know, hire somebody with a track record and also, you know, as it turns out, you know, has worked in this genre before.
And she's great. She's such so good. A great actress. So yeah. I'm happy for her.
But that hair is crazy. Like her hair is just like, you know, in the black and white episodes, I was really like, who is that lady? You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's the cool thing about the show is they really, you know, they really have that special cinematic look.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's a good show on every level. I really enjoy it.
I have a question about it because I haven't started watching it yet. I have plans to, 15-year-old son. Do I need to show him the shows that the show is, you know, like the Dick Van Dyke Show or whatever? Do I show him the old shows so he has an appreciation? Is it necessary?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I don't think it's necessary, but I do think that people that are really digging WandaVision are doing so from a perspective of remembering those old shows and that just the fact that, you know, that they're taking on lots of different shows and genres in WandaVision is just super cool. But I guess it does definitely up your appreciation if you get what they're making fun of. I just don't know how much, you know, because we've got years of watching Dick Van Dyke to then see like this one episode of Wanda that kind of apes it, you know? So it's like, how much would you want your kid to watch to prepare just to watch this one half hour Wanda?
Hmm. Well, I mean, I could just show him one episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, so then I guess he'll get the idea that like, oh yeah, TV used to be super corny.
I like the Dick Van Dyke Show. Yeah. I still think it's funny, but yeah.
It is still funny, but it's definitely got its own, you know, vibe to it. And that's what I feel like the people that have spoken openly about not being that into WandaVision are missing out on the parody aspect of it. Because I mean, it is really what the Dick Van Dyke Show would have been like if, you know, if they had magical powers, you know, because it's very much like the things that happen are very much like on all the sitcoms like that had like people with powers like the Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie, which they're going to be getting to in the next couple of weeks, I imagine. I love the one episode where the inside of their home is just a mix of the looks of Partridge Family and Brady Bunch. It was like the two houses like, you know, came together. Uh-huh. But anyway, I've said too much and that's TV. Doug loves TV. Doesn't watch for another.
Well, I mean, it feels like it's spun off from the movies. So
it really is. It's part of the whole movie world, which is like, that's part of the fun of it. I really thought you were going to ask me how much MCU does he need to see before watching WandaVision.
He's all set there.
Okay, good. Because even if you want a last minute, if you want a last minute refresher, there's two episodes of a thing called Icons or Heroes or something like that. It's on Disney Plus, and it's just a recap of those specific characters. Like it's like 7 minutes just about Wanda and 7 minutes just about Vision.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's kind of cool to watch before you get into the show, but. I'm just amazed at how fun and funny the show is. Cause obviously Avengers movies and all the MCU movies, they have humor in them, but comedy's not their, you know, that's not job one usually. And in this case, I think they really pull it off.
Can I give some snaps real fast to Catherine Hahn? Because to me, she is the MVP of that show. I love her.
She's so good at seeming like she's from the other time periods and also handling what I think is, I feel like I know kind of where the show is going and it's also going to be a fun acting thing for her to deal with that.
Yeah. She's one of my favorites.
All right, we got to play this game. We're almost running out of time. So the second movie we're going to do, we're going to start with Clark and then go to Todd, then to Claire. And the movie is We're the Millers, starring Jennifer Aniston and Ted Lasso.
Yeah. And their children. There are children and there are bad guys. Right.
Now, there's stuff going on in that movie. Do you think would be like number one from that bunch?
I'm gonna actually say Sudeikis, because I feel like people who will be searching IMDb or looking things up on IMDb would also be watching Ted Lasso. And there's kind of his name is in the papers right now for personal things. So, which I'm not saying to be unsavory. I'm just, this is why. So I'll say Jason Sudeikis, but I know the kids are probably hot young whippersnappers that IMDb just can't wait to look at their credits or something. But I'll go Sudeikis.
Okay. What do you think, Todd?
Well, I can't remember the name of the kids. The British actor kid. I can't remember his name.
I mean, he's an amazing character actor.
He's great.
Yeah.
His name, Will Poulter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Emma Roberts is the other child.
Okay. Now, it's been a while since I've seen this, but I feel like there was a playing maybe a drug dealer or something there was a cameo, and I feel like it was somebody like Patton Oswalt or somebody like that, and you wouldn't expect to be playing a complete asshole. Do I have that wrong?
You're right that there was a cameo and that it was someone that's not Patton Oswalt. I'll tell you who it is. It's one of the nicer guys in the biz, so it's funny. He does play a rather mean person in it. It's Ed Helms.
Oh, right. Yes. I'm just going to say Jennifer Aniston because.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
people are into her love life. Isn't she all the people are always talking about her and Brad Pitt or whatever.
It doesn't get bigger than Jennifer Aniston.
Nah.
Claire, what do you think?
Well, I'm a Ted Lasso fan. We discussed that on the show. But I also follow Emma Roberts on Instagram, and she's been documenting her pregnancy and her and I think people are interested in that, and so I am going to say Emma Roberts.
Okay.
I did not have the Emma Roberts on Instagram pregnancy information.
You gotta follow who, what, where.
You gotta study before coming on this show.
That's true.
Do you even have an Instagram yet, Todd?
No, I don't.
You told me you'd get one. I don't know how long ago it was, but I was bullying you about it, and you said you'd get one.
Maybe I will one day.
They're so fun. I mean, because it's just, don't you ever see something fun or funny and you just take a picture of it and think, oh, if I could just show this to people all at once, it'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was already doing that on Twitter or whatever, but...
Right, but Twitter is like, you know, it's not about the image as much as it's about the word, you know, like, I feel like Instagram's where you go with your... I mean, I put the same thing on both a lot of times just because, you know, I don't know who's following me where. All right, coming in at number four, sorry to say, Todd.
Ah, God damn it.
It's good old Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, that was me.
That was Clark. Him.
I'm just apologizing to Todd because he's not going to get any points at all.
Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding. All right. Yeah. So sorry to you, Clark, that Jason didn't make the cut.
No problem.
But coming in at number three is Emma Roberts.
Okay.
So congratulations to Claire for getting one more point for that. And then number two, 2 points to Todd for Jennifer Aniston.
Oh.
Yeah,
I'm surprised.
Actually. Always a safe bet. Bet on Aniston.
So exciting. And then number one, everyone's going to be so upset when they hear this answer. Mm-hmm. Catherine Hahn.
Oh my gosh, because Doug, your movies have the, oh my gosh, how many times have I been on this show? How many times have I been on this show? And the games always have a theme. Come on, Clark.
That was a trick.
No, I mean, yeah, it's a trick, but also she, I just noticed that she was also a recipient of the WandaVision bump.
Yes, of course, of course.
All right, but this is a very tight, exciting game. Todd has 4 points, Claire has 4 points, and Clark has 3 points. So it's really anybody's at this point. And we got one more title, and we'll start with Clark gets to go first, right?
I think I just went first that time.
Okay, Todd gets to go first.
Yep.
All right, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
The film is Martin Scorsese's Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, God.
And I refer to as Clark Wolf of Wall Street. And that, of course, starred Leonardo DiCaprio and Jonah Hill at one of his larger sizes. Not like, we're not talking war dogs. We're also not talking, what was he in recently where he's really skinny? I guess the Jump Street movies.
I'm going to go with this one. I'm going to go Aya Cash.
Oh, your co-star.
Mm-hmm.
And You're the Worst.
And I know maybe I shouldn't do the show my work. I'm not going to show my work. I'm not going to help these two women.
I'll show it for you. I mean, Aya must have been huge on the database, you know, because of The Boys.
Mm-hmm. And she won an award recently for it. That's why that was my logic. Yeah.
But it's also just always nice to bring her up.
She's great. And, you know, as soon as you say Wolf of Wall Street, she's the first person I always think of. Because she told me, regaled me with stories about shooting that.
Yeah. I bet.
Yeah.
Okay, Claire, what do you think?
Oh, my gosh. This is a toughie. There's a lot of guys in this movie. I am inclined. I'm inclined to say Leonardo DiCaprio just because he's Leonardo DiCaprio. But part of me, I'm gonna say Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, Clark.
Okay, so since we can talk this one out, I might need a little confirmation. Is Margot Robbie in this movie?
Yeah.
All right, then I'm going to say our girl Margot Robbie because people just love her and they're very interested in what she's up to. So, but Leonardo DiCaprio is always a safe bet for the IMDb crowd, and that's all I will say.
Margot Robbie's a producer on Promising Young Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that movie. I'm very excited. I just don't want to pay $20 to rent it, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, you just hang back for a second and it'll, you know, the price comes down.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And then you jump in. Or it comes down completely. I think that one might move to streaming like pretty soon.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the tip. This is like the GameStop Reddit thread, except we're gaming the rental system. Yes, I'll stick with Margot Robbie. I'll say Margot Robbie.
Okay, fair enough. Everybody like their answers? You want to lock them in?
Yeah, I'm going to lock mine in. Yeah.
I love it. This is working out beautifully. Because
I'm so torn.
We have a clear cut winner, which I always like because I, you know, I have a tiebreaker, but we don't need it because, sadly, Todd, our friend Aya Cash, is number 10.
Oh, well, that's just wrong
on the list. I mean, there's some powerhouse people in this movie, and I think she's just now coming down off of that boy's high that she was on for a while. And of course she'll be back after you guys do your read through on Sunday. I'm sure that's going to cause a lot of excitement. I just want to say at number five, nobody brought her up, but Kristen Milioti is, she plays Leo's less glamorous wife in Wolf of Wall Street. And she came in at number five. I just want to say again that she is so great in Palm Springs.
I love that movie. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I you know, it might get like a screenplay nod at the Oscars, but I wish it was getting more awards attention, because even though it's a comedy, it's very dark and has a lot of thoughtful stuff in there. It's a, yeah, very, it's a very clever movie. Anyway, so Kristen Milioti came in number five. Number four, I barely remember him in this movie, but I trust IMDb, because, of course, IMDb. Are Johnny Favs, John Favreau.
Oh,
I almost, yeah, he, that's where there's so many guys in this movie. It's like packed with guys.
Yeah. And John's big right now because of, you know, Mandalorian's so huge.
Sure.
Okay. Number three, nobody mentioned him. He appears briefly at the beginning of the movie, pump, you know, hits his chest a lot.
McConaughey.
Noises. Matthew McConaughey. Yeah.
I almost said
he was my second choice.
Yeah. I almost said Matthew McConaughey.
He came in at number three.
I'm still holding then, Leo.
But Leo is, yeah.
Number two, drum roll, pretty much what you'd expect, Margot Robbie.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and number one is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Woo-hoo.
I'm just excited I didn't get three contestants all saying Leo. I got
that,
to,
that
got
wasn't
to off the set to not say his name.
It wasn't as weird an algorithm on that one as I would have.
That's what's hoped. Weird about it is it suddenly makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's even weirder than the weird ones in a way.
Sure.
The IMDb crowd does really love, they love their Leo. They think
love
they,
Leo.
They yeah. love him.
Just has been very vocal with the new president. He's back on social media talking about climate change and global warming. So he's like, I feel like he's, you know, reaching out to Biden and saying, you can be the climate change president. So I feel like he's very public right now. That's another reason I went with him.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he's in public. He's either gained weight for a role or just said, fuck it.
I hope he just said, fuck it.
I bet you that's what it is.
I think that he's been on that. Well, never mind. I don't know. Maybe that is what he did.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
But, and I'm not saying he got fat or anything, but he's just definitely, you know, not the super skinny guy that he's pretty much always been his whole career. Well, congratulations to Claire Kramer.
Woohoo!
Has the option. This is the special. We do one midweek episode a month, but we normally do Sundays. So I'll ask you, but you don't have to give me a firm answer now, Clark. I mean, sorry, Claire. Get Clark all excited. Oh, wait, what? no, sorry, Claire. Clerical error. Claire, would you like to join us on Sunday?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. She's going for another 10-win streak here on the show.
This is a dicey one, though. I feel like I eked it out. You guys are amazing.
Yeah, though I'll bring in some more heavy hitters, because this.
I'm glad I lost. I got to do a reading on Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah,
it worked out.
Sunday, you've got shit to do. So once again, find Todd's reading of an episode of You're the Worst for charity. It's happening this Sunday on the internet.
Yes, please.
Yeah, go find it. Is there anything else you'd like to plug? What's your Twitter name?
What's that?
What's your Twitter name? Because it's not your actual name.
No, it's my handle is at Ton Slingdog.
Yeah, Ton is spelled with two N's.
Two N's.
It's like you were like, don't want people to find you.
Well, when I got my Twitter account, I had no idea what I was doing. And that was just a nickname that I had on the Film Pig show that I do. Because Steve was really drunk one time and said my name and it came out Ton. And then I was in a commercial where people had a hot dog and a slingshot. So people called me Sling Dog, and that's how it came to be.
Yeah, now you're Ton Sling Dog.
Now I'm Ton Sling Dog.
Oh, my God.
But I'll plug this. I'm doing this live, fun live show called My Favorite Shitty Movie every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And you can find our page on Facebook. You can find our account on Twitter, and the show streams live right there. And it's fun. It's just me and my nerdy friends and some kind of celebrity guest talking about our favorite bad movies.
Awesome.
Super fun.
And I self-published a horror novel called The Headache Man, which is available on Amazon. So if you like horror, check that out.
Yeah. All right.
I do.
It's about a guy with a bad headache that only goes away if he murders people.
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's how most serial killers work. I think they're just doing it to make the pain go away. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
Clark Wolf, what's going on? Where can people check you out?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Clark Wolf, Clark with an E, Wolf with an E. And for the horror fans out there, after you read Todd's book, please join me on Wednesday evenings on Twitch. I'm a co-host on a show for the Walking Dead Twitch channel, which is kind of cool. And every Wednesday I do a show called Wolf's Call, where I do a deep dive into a horror movie. So if you're on Twitch, give us a watch. It's really interactive and lots of fun.
Fantastic.
And thank you, Claire,
our ongoing champion.
Yes.
What would you like to plug this time?
Well, you can follow me as well on Twitter at Claire Kramer and Instagram, Claire Kramer Official. I'm most active on those two platforms. And I, of course, am getting ready to launch my next podcast called Fanatics, which is about things people are obsessed with that you might not expect. So for example, we had Tony Hale on and he talked about his love of indoor malls. So it's a really fun little show. And then if you're looking for TV content, you can check out, I have a Amazon Prime series called Dark Web, where I play a cannibal. So that's
a what?
I eat people, okay?
Oh, a cannibal.
Very, very topical.
Like Army Hammer.
You know, it's Doug, when you said that who was on the top of the star meter was the game, I immediately was like, is Army Hammer in any of these movies that he's about to say?
No, he's way up there. If I'd have picked an Army Hammer movie, he like Social Network, if you use the popularity index on that, I bet you he's number one, even though that movie's got amazing people in it. And Rashida Jones is probably number two because she's, you know, there's lots of publicity around that Bill Murray movie on the rocks. What else do I have to say? Oh, my plug. Doug Loves Movies regular Amy Miller is joining us on Getting Doug with High on Patreon on Tuesday. So sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/gettingdoug. At the end of every episode, I say a line, the last line from a movie. And this next one is sort of a tribute to Cloris Leachman, but it's also going to sound weird, me just saying it, but everyone can have fun guessing what movie it's from. And Claire, Clark, and Todd, in addition to me thanking you one more time for being here, I'd like to ask you if you could send me a picture of yourself wearing a mask for me to use to promote this episode.
Absolutely. You got it.
And you know what? I just, Doug, before you say your last line, I just want to tie it all together real quick.
Okay.
When I went on Todd's podcast, we talked about Christmas Vacation, which is not a shitty movie, but some people consider it a shitty movie. And it is my favorite movie. And it is so much my family's favorite movie that my sister named her son Clark.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
What a full circle moment.
Full
truly.
Circle, and now I'm a heart shape with my hands.
Wow. Oh.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Thanks, everybody. As always, no. Oh, I don't believe. Oh, ah, oh, oh.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.